Today on Talk About That, John exercises his Third Amendment rights and ponders mixed drinks from the Bible. Meanwhile, I make for a terrible and chubby chocolate salesman and go to a pep rally at my job. Also, a conversation about fashion anxiety among middle-aged men. Today's episode is not sponsored by squirrels. Every bit as rabid as rats, but for some reason, you love us. Let's get into it.
You're entering the spin zone. Wait.
What is it? they don't still say the no spin zone, right? That was the O'Reilly factor.
Well, we're going to spin some things. That's the deal.
That's the thing. He spun it, too. There's no possible way.
You take a story,
you put it in your own ideology, and you spit it back out. It's going to have spin on it.
Yeah.
But nobody goes, I'm taking this information in. I will deflect it. There's no deflection. It's just all.
Yeah. Ours is just more like a little English, just a little touch.
Just enough to get it off the backboard and.
Yeah, just for it to fall through the hoop.
Of your consciousness.
That was a long intro. Welcome to Talk About That, everybody. I'm John. This is Joni.
Hey, guys. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Did you listen to the episode last week?
I didn't, but it was I will.
My gosh.
I will. I mean.
You're a wonderful leader and a horrible follower.
This is how much I trust you.
Oh, my goodness.
With our platform.
I think, Johnny, we took it up a notch. She's
pretty sharp.
She booked a few comedy shows this week since we did that episode.
Laura, you go.
Yeah.
I have one more spot to fill at my Zany show.
Uh-oh. Laura, you want to do your 5 minutes? Come on.
This is time.
Yeah. It is time.
It is time for you, man.
Oh, I'm so ready.
Could you do it? Would you be nervous if I said, hey, John, come do 5 minutes at Zany's?
I'd be terrified.
Really?
Yes.
But you've done, I'm trying to think we've done some things together at church, but we've been together. See, this is what I felt when I started comedy, because I'd only been on stage with you doing music. So you feel that same level of terror if you were to try to do comedy without me, because we've done comedy together.
But I had to do it with you.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So when I had to do music without you or anything without you, I felt really like unsure of myself until I got my feet underneath me.
Yeah.
So you feel that same way about like if I had to get on stage and be silly or funny without Johnny, like there's
no way.
See,
I'm silly, but there's a difference between silly and joke writing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we did the Dadville podcast.
Yeah.
Came out. Hey guys, go listen, man.
Oh, it's great. Dave Barnes and
John McLaughlin. Hilarious.
John McLaughlin sounds like a very, wasn't that the McLaughlin group? What was that? The big show on, was it C-SPAN or? Remember McLaughlin Group?
Yeah,
and he would speak to all these political pundits in the round, and it was like this huge discussion.
Like a French
Middle
horn
East
intro.
Peace Conference, trick or treat, Jack Dermond! And he would go to the next guy, Pat Buchanan! And he would make them all comment and be like, wrong! That was, I think his name was John McLaughlin.
Wow.
So could be.
It was a very funny, they put out a really funny meme to promote it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Like a Marvel Cinematic Universe
style
meme. And
they superimposed our faces on all of it. But Dave Barnes is on the female superhero.
Yeah.
And it's very funny.
Yeah. It's a little androgynous.
Yeah, it was very, very funny. So you should go listen. But anyway, point is, they're funny. I could be goofy with them.
Yes.
But I was no
I've listened to part of that.
I'm no comedian. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not even really.
But that's the thing, too. The level of expectation sets the perspective, and it sets your level of anxiety as well. So if you're. You know, if you walk out and you're doing a sermon, like if somebody's visiting our church and they walk out, okay, let's see who this guy's. Okay, this guy's going to preach. Okay. And then you come out, you got like a funny story about Sadie and volleyball before you get into your sermon. They're like, oh, I like this church. This guy's funny.
Yeah.
But if you go, hey, before we get started, I want to have a comedian come do 5 minutes. Now the arms begin to fold in the crowd like, oh, comedian, huh?
Well, make
like,
me laugh. Yeah.
Right. It's like, make me laugh, buddy. So it is different. Like if Tony Robbins is funny as a motivational speaker, that's great. It's like a bonus.
Yeah.
Because what you hired him for was inspiration or money advice or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They want spiritual mentorship from you. If you throw in a funny story about, you know, juice boxes, now all of a sudden it's like cherry on top.
Yeah. It was a cherry juice box. That was crazy.
Interesting.
I do get nervous. You're right. If the expectation is, because when they build you and I to do that fundraiser for the local Christian school as local comedians.
Local comedians.
That was scary.
We were a duo that night.
And then when I went on that Nashville Today show and they said author and comedian, I was like, guys, but you can't correct them. What are you going to say? Actually, everybody.
Anyway.
That'd be the worst thing in the world.
I'm not funny, guys.
The book that I was promoting couldn't have sold fewer copies, so I guess I could have gone for it.
You mean your award-winning book, John?
It did win some awards. Critically acclaimed. dismally sold. You could still pick up your copy, though, at Amazon.
If you melted down the metals, would it be more or less money than you've made from the book?
That's very funny. That's very. We should grind up the metals off one and make me drink them, like powder them, like Moses did with the golden calf, and see if that removes the curse over the book sales.
I used to think about that story. Moses kind of invented Kool-Aid. You know, when he ground up the idol and said, like, drink this if you love it so much, if this is your God.
Yeah.
He invented Kool-Aid.
Wow. I wonder if it would be considered.
And why did any of them die from that? Did they do it?
A lot of them died that day from a lot of different things.
But it was like, oh, I'm sure it's independent of this gold powder I ingested.
I think the ground opened up and swallowed like 15,000 of them or something. Oh. And he made like, listen,
I would have hoped to have died from the Kool-Aid then if it was going to be the ground that got me.
If you're like
a
ever
Sarlacc or whatever
walking,
it was.
If you're like ever walking with Israelites.
Yes.
And Moses comes down off a mountain and you've been worshiping a golden calf.
You need to leave the premises.
And Moses, like, basically draws a line in the sand and says, hey, everyone who wants to worship God, like, quickly run to Moses' side and drink the gold powder. Because I mean, I just understand how could 15,000 people, after they just saw, like, Moses' face is so bright that they can't look at him. So and there's still, like, fire on Mount Sinai. And so, like.
More like Mount Sinai because they were poisoned when they got.
I'm never like.
What if it turns out ground up gold powder is like really good for us?
It's really good for your digestive system.
We take zinc. Well, what is zinc? That's a metal.
Do you grind up zinc and drink it, Joe?
I don't not do it. And I'll tell you that right now. Guess who's not had COVID? This guy. Yes. I also have the vaccine. I think the zinc powder that I eat every day has played a role.
I just mean. Okay. Why would you have a staring contest with God? Like, if you could see.
Yes.
Why would you
that's
like,
a book title right there.
I mean, it's like.
Staring contest with God?
Am I right, guys?
Who going to blink first? Not you. Wait. Not the Lord. I don't know. Wait. Whichever one. The Lord. He never blinks. He never sleeps. It's not he never blinks.
Well, I think that's Santa Claus you're talking about. Wait. Oh. He never. No, wait. That's.
Isn't there a thing he never sleeps or slumbers?
Wait, that's New York.
No.
The city that never sleeps.
But I think it's the Lord, too, right? Isn't there a psalm that says
he
never sleeps?
That's true. It does.
But it doesn't say he never blinks.
It doesn't say that at all. See, Johnny, this is how errant theology gets started.
It does.
You know, my friends, this is like the scriptures say.
Church of the dry eye. Come on in, brothers.
Church of the dry eye. I can't say who or what, but Andrew and I were talking about this idea of George Costanzing another church.
Oh, right.
And just do the opposite of everything it does. We used to talk about that. Like,
because there's an episode, if you're not a Seinfeld person, where George Costanza, his life is constantly falling apart, and he decides what he needs to do is the opposite of every instinct that he has.
Yeah.
So if the opposite is not speaking to the beautiful blonde in the cafe because he knows she'll reject him, he walks over to her and he says, I'm an unemployed person who lives in my parents' basement. And she turns and goes, I'm Claire, or whatever. Like, she's engaged by him because of the boldness.
Yeah.
So then he just starts doing the opposite.
Yeah.
And his whole life turns around.
Yeah.
But you want to do that to another church because you see them.
Well, I see things and go, oh, like you used to talk about, we would go play at Victory Baptist, right. Like right across the street.
From Defeated Baptist.
Right. Like, just have the opposite of all the things. So, like, if you're going to have, I don't know, I can't go into any one of what it is, but we laughed pretty heartily.
Yeah.
Pretty heartily, Johnny.
Well, we have a church in town that doesn't want. They'll say if you wear a mask to our service, we'll ask you to leave. So we say we're going to give you a second mask.
Right. If you show up at our church with a mask, we'll give you another.
We'll double up.
If you show up at one of the other statements they make is if you come trying to take our First Amendment rights,
all right,
we'll meet you at the door with our Second Amendment rights.
What's the Third Amendment?
That's a good question, Johnny. I don't know.
Nobody ever talks
Habeas
about that
corpus?
One. It's like there's no Third Baptist churches either. Like when you get to Second, it's like, we're good.
Yeah, it's like after that, we don't want to
You don't know the Third Amendment? You're a biggest history guy. I'm looking it up.
I don't have them all memorized.
It'd be funny if it was like something really obscure and weird.
Does it have to do with housing soldiers and militia or something?
Okay,
I'm
hold
not
on.
Sure. But we were like, if you show up to take our First Amendment rights, we'll just hand you our guns. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, just do the opposite.
It is. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by the law.
I feel so happy that somehow was like just in there swirling about. But I couldn't
tell you. That's like me knowing about you know, like an obscure Different Strokes episode. It's completely useless. Yours is actually pretty useful for the show. I'm like, hey, you know, the guy that was Arthur Carlson, the station manager on WKRP in Cincinnati, he played the owner of the bike shop that tried to molest Dudley on the very special episode of Different Strokes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I don't know why I know that, but it was. He was the creepy bike shop owner.
You know, Laura and I, you really need to listen to last week's episode because I made the, I guess, allusion to the fact that in different ways, you and her both, it's like I envision like the end of National Treasure, mm-hmm. where like all the information you have, if we could like set fire to little things, it mm-hmm. just keeps illuminating room upon room and cave, yeah. like this vast cave of worthless. Hers is medical.
You hope that maybe I'll need it. Maybe one day, yeah, it'll save my life. Knowing about Different Strokes will save my life.
I think you and
remember in the Goonies when they play the piano notes and the pieces of the rock fall away?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I need a moment like that.
Jenny, I live that every day.
Yeah.
Play the bones.
Yeah. I need to know. Yeah. I'm praying for that moment where somebody's like got a gun to my head and they're like, tell me about, you know, it'll be an episode of Welcome Back, Cotter. And I'll know, and they'll be like, all right, you got me. It was the answer was Horshack. And then you're asked to leave.
You can go, sir.
Yeah, you can go. But the rest of you, hostages.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what we need to do is, where your knowledge really comes in handy mm-hmm. is Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah. But I don't know if I could do, like, current day.
Well, that's the thing.
Pursuit.
Our powers combined.
Right.
Like, what we need to do is start challenging other duos.
Uh-huh.
Possibly celebrities.
What about Dave Barnes, John McLaughlin?
Let's challenge them.
Oh, on the air, we do a special.
That's a long episode.
It would be, and probably not fun for the listeners.
I don't know, though.
It's like, oh, this is a pie piece.
Oh. We had to video it.
Oh, okay.
But we should do it for, like, charity or something. Like, hey, whoever. Actually, let's just do it for us to get money.
Listen, I'll give you $10 to not have to listen to this. What do you think of that? You pay more to avoid the episode.
You know, I have purported the non-fundraiser. And it's been taken by a couple people. Like, listen, instead of my school trying to sell me candy bars today, said, like, look, tell me how much you want from me for the year.
Right.
I will pay you to leave me alone.
This feels like the government.
Well,
except the government never ends either. It's still like another bake sale for the government to get more.
But if you, what's your goal for me? Is it $300?
But the goal changes because then things go up. Oh, the uniforms cost more than we thought. Embroidery is going through the roof.
Here, have this candy bar.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
world's finest chocolate, John.
So fine.
We turned our kids into just, man, I grew up selling donuts, Krispy Kreme donuts, Goo Goo Clusters, Tennessee's favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, world's finest chocolate was the one that I feel like every school did that.
Oh, yeah.
Private school, for sure.
I was convinced when that guy... I wonder if we had the same guy. Because coming to Knoxville, came to Nashville. Like a real tall, older guy.
The guy that puts it all together?
Yeah.
He's the Willy Wonka of world's finest chocolate.
Did you remember him? Did he come to your school?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. He had a name.
I got a golden ticket.
He'd make you believe you were going to win the bicycle or whatever.
Oh, was there a thing for the most chocolate?
Oh, are you kidding?
You go to D.C. and meet the president?
They would fill the whole gym with all these prizes.
That wouldn't be like a big prize now. Kids would be like, I don't want to meet that guy.
I don't want
like whoever the president is, we all hate him now.
What if there's an insurrection while I'm there?
Right, you don't want that.
Our kids do have a lot.
World's finest insurrection.
Our kids do have a lot more to think about when they go to D.C.
That's true. It is different now.
It's a little different.
Okay, so there was a chocolate kingpin. You're saying that came to your school. This feels like maybe a con man, and he just said, I'm the world's finest chocolate.
You know
guy.
What? I never got discounts for all the money we raised.
And you definitely didn't win the
anything.
Bike. Did you sell it? Were you good at selling chocolate? Here's what happened to me. This is a total fat kid story, but I ate a few of those bars. And I think I put a dollar in for some of them, and then I lost track.
I ran out of money and kept eating.
So I turned in the empty boxes.
Yeah.
Oh, look who did good. And then you turn in the cash and they're like, there's a shortfall here. And heads will roll. Sorry, the ones with almonds in them are really good.
Ooh, they are really good. They were special. Everything seemed more special, Johnny. When you got it, it was like there was a...
Maybe.
There was sentimentality.
Yeah.
Connected to like that when a guy
but not then there wasn't. You just thought I'm being forced to sell chocolate.
I'm saying Yeah, no.
You're sentimental now about it.
No, no. At the time, if someone holds it up and you have that big rally and you're going to win these prizes.
Oh, right.
And
they attach emotion to
it.
Yeah,
like everything to it was so like, ooh. And you didn't realize it was just junk.
Have I ever told you about, I think that's true of everything. I think even church culture falls into that. But I don't. But I think the church gets a bad rap. Because I read an article and a few tweets about that, about how like church gets a bad rap of like, okay, they use lights and big crescendos and dynamic shifts in the music to elicit an emotion. And it's like every organization does that. Well, that doesn't mean there's also not a spiritual element that's happening and that's at play.
Yeah, music produces emotion, and God made music. So, like, right. So yeah, you could go too far with that. But yes.
But did I ever tell you about working at Home Depot, though, and they would do those rallies? Like, they would do, like, pep rallies.
For
just, like, overall customer spirit. Like, just customer service. And they would have these like they would do these whiteboard charts about like this is what I think I told you one. It was like the guy said this is how many people if somebody has a good experience at Home Depot, we've done research over the last 10 years and they tell 7 people about that great experience.
What?
And that's and it says the average person spends $115,000 at a home improvement warehouse over the course of their lifetime. So if they tell 7 people and they come to Home Depot to spend that money, we make blah 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 off that one good customer interaction. If someone has a bad experience at Home Depot, you know how many people they tell?
14.
45.
Oh, wow.
An average of 45. So he goes, we didn't just lose that person's 115,000. We lost, and it does all the math, and then everybody goes, oh, you know, and then it's like this whole big moment that he's created. But it really was like a sermon. It was like he's doing these illustrations. He's got slides.
Wow.
And then we did like a cheer. But again, Home Depot was a different place then because, and this was in mid-90s. People worked on the floor at Home Depot, wore an apron every day, and made millions of dollars off stock.
Uh-huh.
Like, it really happened because it was a rising tide. It was like stores were being built every month in different cities. Now it's more plateaued. You just see, like, Lowe's kind of caught them, and then they just, they're all built, and they just war against each other. And so it kind of plateaued, and I was making, what, $6.50 working a register. So they were like, you need to be buying stock. And I was like, how about food? I'm buying food with my... But some of these guys were making...
Chicken stock. That's what I'm...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Some of these people were making $15-16 an hour in the hardware department. But then when they retired, like they were getting like $500,000-$600,000 checks from their stock options that they also like were... And the company was investing. So all that said, they had that culture, though, that was an addendum to what they were doing. And they built that into you that like, we're not just a company. We're a culture.
Yeah,
and so they would do these weird cheerleading, and of course it was. I'm very cynical. It was weird to me, and I was like, "This is kind of cultish." But I see why they were doing it, and the 7 people and the 45 people thing really is a jarring thing, and I still remember it. And it makes sense to me because, like, even when I was reading something the other day, somebody said it was about a restaurant or a hotel or something, and there were bad reviews.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, but. No, you know what it was? It was my instant COVID test because we were taking those before we went to Cancun.
Yeah.
And these instant COVID tests, some of them have false positives, some have false negatives. And there were bad reviews for this thing. And I was like, yeah, but people who have a good experience with an instant COVID test are not going to immediately log in and write a review.
Yeah.
It's the people who had to waste 3 days because they got a false positive that write that review. So all you're getting is false. All you're getting is negative reviews. So it weighs the... It falsely tipped the scale. So I disregarded him because I wanted to believe my negative because I was going to kick it. So I had my own biases at play. But I really do believe that. Like, you're more likely to write a negative review. So the 45 people versus 7 people really does make sense as far as, like, human nature.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't write a lot of positive. Like, I have apps I use every day.
Yeah.
And they always give me that, do you love the Bible app? And I'm in the middle of trying to get something off the Bible app.
You're like, not now.
Yeah. I'm like, no.
No, I don't love the Bible app.
I keep using it for free, but no, I don't. And then it'll be like.
And a tear scrolls down Jesus's face every time you don't review it positively.
He's like, can you tell us why? No. And like my banking app, same thing. Do you? I'm like, I love it so much, I'm using it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to go tell anyone that. I just want to use it. Now, the banking.
Because if you say you do love it, then they go here. It directs you right away. You can't just like leave a quick 5-star.
Now, guys, I say all that. But what we need you to do.
Go to our Patreon page and go to our talkaboutthatpodcast.com. Leave a review.
Yeah.
Also, you can find a link to buy tickets to my show. Listen, coming up at Zany's October 17th.
Yeah, guys, we got to fill.
That doesn't take any time.
It takes no time.
It takes money.
I feel.
To buy those tickets, but
that I've robbed myself the experience of giving that positive review
yeah.
and buying that ticket up to now. Like, yeah. you know what, Johnny? I'm buying that ticket.
John.
I'll be the first one.
I could put you on my list.
No, no, no. I'm you're buying that ticket.
You're a friend of the show.
And I want to know how many others are going to follow me and buy that ticket for themselves.
On the list. They're like, well, John didn't get on the list. He's probably got spots.
Yeah.
You guys are coming?
I'm coming.
John.
I know I'm coming, and I'm
just
hoping
you.
I'm hoping to bring...
Not the whole fam?
I don't know about the whole fam.
Well, I don't think Sadie could be, because it's 18 and up.
Are you going to be dropping some...
I am bringing the heat, John.
Oh, my goodness.
I am over it, and I feel like it's time to go blue.
It's time to go blue. No, I think I'm hopefully a friend is coming with me.
Oh, okay.
So I don't want to name whom.
Oh, well.
Wait, who?
Who?
I'm like Creed Bratton. Whom is a word they make they made up to make kids feel stupid or whatever. You know?
He's got a point.
But yeah, guys, seriously, Zanies.
Yeah. But
do
no,
it.
But only if you feel
no,
don't
I don't
feel
care
obligated.
What you feel.
Don't
no,
feel obligated.
Feel obligated.
Don't like, you know, move your fall break trip around no. just to come to my dumb show.
If it's
unless
your kids,
that's what you want to do. Nashville's
your,
a great town to hang out in
it
for
is.
Fall break.
If it's your kid's birthday, tell them you're going
happy
to
birthday.
See Johnny. Right.
Happy birthday.
All they really want is money or Amazon card. Give it to them and go to Johnny's mm-hmm. show. You know
that's
what I'm
right.
saying? And
yeah.
don't feel bad about
these
it.
These people that don't like gift cards, I don't understand. Mm. I like a gift card. Now, if somebody gets me like a really thoughtful thing, that's cool too. But honestly...
That just lets me know you're not a gift giver in your love language.
I guess. But I like... I think I'm pretty thoughtful. But yeah, it's if I have somebody that I know what they want... You know, normally, most people in my life, in other words, that know what they want, they go get it themselves. Like, if you're a grown-up and you're like, man, I've been wanting that Apple Watch. Hey, I got an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be able to surprise them with an Apple Watch.
Yeah, it's a very interesting place to understand. Well, you know, we're talking about that Lecrae song, Welcome to America. And, like, man, he delves into some of that, like, people not understanding that we just get whatever we want here.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean everyone does, but yes. So I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to delve it, but I can't hear it. Like I think about it all the time, my level of being able to get things now, like on Amazon, same day.
Right.
Like there was a book I needed to give Andrew a book for a sermon series we're doing. So I had a copy. I gave it to him. I went online and it was at my house before I got home.
That's kind of creepy.
They was like, we could deliver today between 2 and 4.
You saw the drone leaving.
It was like, what?
This took off. Oh, that's weird.
And it was like, I was like, man, this is a whole other level of, you know, I mean, I don't have to go, they'll deliver my food here to the mm-hmm. office. You know
yep.
what I'm saying? So I don't know, man, it's a, but yes, people should enjoy a gift, in my opinion, if it was given. I don't need thoughtfulness in a gift to me, unless I don't like the gift. If
yeah,
you
but,
give me something that you know I dislike.
But if
that's,
somebody gave me an Amazon card and I'm buying something with it on Amazon, I'm now thinking of that person. Oh, this was nice. I got a...
Yeah.
Maybe not the same as if like I wanted a whatever. If they got me Titans tickets and they know I'd always wanted to go to a Titans game. And they're like, hey, here's those tickets. Like that is kind of a bigger deal, I guess. But how do you know? People are so busy. They're like, hey, I got you this thing. And now you're like, oh I'm out of town that weekend. Or now I got to plan a whole... I would feel like I'm imposing sometimes to give a gift like that.
I struggle with it because my wife is a really good gift
giver.
Just
stop asking me for things.
Johnny, just...
Don't expect...
Just give me the Titans tickets and shut up.
Let's you know, see. I got invited to go to the Titans game last weekend and I couldn't
Ooh.
Go. I was out of town. I had a show.
It's like the comeback of the year.
I know.
No, wait. No.
The
Seattle game?
No.
Oh, the
Colts
game.
It was a home game, yeah.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go and my buddy Brian Bates, he ended up...
scoring the winning touchdown.
He did. They put
it.
Him in
yeah.
And I was like, man, okay.
Yeah.
He did it.
Lots of the nights before Sadie's volleyball games, I'll walk up to the coach and go, hey, coach, I got my little shorts. If you
oh.
need to put me in, I don't think anyone will notice, you know. And she just goes, okay.
I'll keep
that in mind.
I think they would notice, John. They-
That's one thing Dave
Who's
Barnes-
that bald girl with the goatee?
What an ugly bald girl. Dave Barnes asked that, hey, can we do something about those uniforms? Like, what's because it's Dadville, so it's
yeah.
all about dads. It's like, what, you know, like I said, man, you just get used to it, you know, you just do.
Yeah.
And I was, and the good news is most of the people in the gym are girls all the time.
Yeah.
And they're practicing and stuff. So I said, I'm not really a shotgun carrying kind of dad. I'm not really that guy.
Yeah. When I came up in Christian school,
it's a handgun, but go ahead. Sorry.
When I came up in Christian school, the girls didn't even wear shorts. They wore culottes. Do you remember culottes?
I do remember culottes. What is the equivalent of that now? Capris is what they call
them.
Yeah,
but they were baggy capris, like almost like
MC Hammer pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm. They were flared.
Yeah.
And girls played basketball in those, and it was like, you try objectifying me in these, pal. You can't. I'm in here somewhere, is basically what you were saying to the boys.
I'm in here somewhere. Use your imagination.
My privates are so obscured by billowy cloth that you cannot be impure if you wanted to.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny.
Culottes. I've not even heard or uttered the word culottes in ages, and now I've said it 10 times.
What a strange... What's the documentary on the clothes?
Lulu Rich.
I watched some Lulu Rich. I watched some of that with my wife. Didn't you watch
I watched three of the four. We're watching the last one tonight, where I'm assuming it all crumbles and it all... It's a big
culminating. I don't think they call them culottes, but some of those clothes, and I'm sorry to our listeners if you're
into
that.
The maxi skirt and the leggings and the
some of the
jeggings.
Patterns and stuff, those were... To me, no,
brutal.
I know nothing.
Brutal.
I know nothing.
So even they said you didn't know what you were going to get, and you might get a whole box of ugly print that you had to then sell because you own it now.
I mean, it was some of the most hideous things I've ever seen.
Yeah, brutal.
Yeah. Like I
and even you saw the art design person going, I was just churning out 100 of these a day by change this color, move this flower over here, and then that's a new print. Like it was just brutal, ugly stuff.
All kinds of lawsuits and stuff over the prints being the same as other prints. They were like showing it. That may be episode 4. Sorry. I'm sorry. But it was just like, it's the power of suggestion / community.
When it became the thing to have. Yeah. You want to be a part.
Like, remember whenever they were doing the brightly colored dress socks?
Uh-huh.
And somebody bought me brightly colored dress socks. And what they didn't understand is I'm not by the time I catch up with that fashion trend, it will be absolutely
it's so
gone.
Over.
Because I don't care if everyone around me is doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm still a fashion coward. Like, I'm just not going. I mean, and I felt bad, too, because I was like, oh, this is so great. You know what? A better, more confident person would actually wear these. And
yeah,
I'm not
that
person.
You don't see a lot of fun sock people, fun sock guys. Sock is more of a girl thing. Like, oh, look, there's koalas and sloths on my socks.
But people were doing it there for a bit. Like, you know, again, normal people.
Normal people.
I don't turn normal till 5 years after the fashion
People trip. At ease with themselves. That's not us.
No. People like,
we're ill at ease.
They look in the mirror and go, hey, this is who I am. And not, oh, that's who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference.
Yeah. I mean, can I stop being who I am?
My self-loathing is less.
Yeah. I have mental culottes on. I'm trying to obscure deep, dark thoughts.
There's a brain in there somewhere.
It is.
You'll have to imagine it. It's that causes me. We had a funny discussion last week about my need to change at a systemic level things that bother me. How I almost had like a breakdown when she tried to teach me how to keep book at the volleyball game because the
keep book was at stats.
Yeah, like but it's not stats. It's possession, who served, rotation.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and scoring, and so. You don't really keep who scored what, just in which rotation did they score, so the score is official, those kinds of things. But there's all these like made up symbols and all kinds of things to do it.
Sounds like Da Vinci Code stuff.
Yeah, and I was just like, I had a physical reaction, like I said I can't do this because it makes me. And I was tired, you know, long day working. I was like, it makes me so mad that someone made up this system. I want to rewrite it.
Oh.
And then Laura's like. We can't. You realize we're not going to rewrite the entire volleyball bookkeeping system across the world.
I'm out of order. You're out of order. The whole system's out of order.
It just makes me so. I just can't. I can't do it. So I see that with fashion. Like I go, there's fundamentally at the root of this some dude just making crap up.
Yeah.
Or some person.
Well, it's somebody in the coast. It's somebody in New York, L.A. that goes, hey, it's going to be short pants. Like, guys now are wearing, like, pants that we would have gotten made fun of in school because they're, like, 2 inches too short at the ankle.
Yeah.
Like, I got a pair of dress pants that were, like, $80, the kind that, like, just feel like sweatpants, basically. They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm doing it. They're like the Lululemon knockoffs. So I get them. And they flood just like a little tiny bit. But I look on the thing, and they're the right length. But I look on the thing, and it says, And the guy's wearing like a sandal or like a Sebago kind of a shoe, like a slip-on shoe, and no socks. And his half of his ankle is showing. And he looks so cool. And I'm going, yeah, I won't look cool though.
No.
I need it to touch the tongue of my shoe.
Yes.
I need my pant to touch. Or I feel weird. Even when I'm sitting down, if it goes, if it goes way up, I feel weird then.
Do you think this is like
I'm
the
I'm a problem.
Is this the signal, though, that we've reached an age?
Yeah. Well, see, there's a time when you just go, I'm not getting on that. Like, you just,
yeah.
You know, like, if you were around and you were in your 50s when Zubas were a thing, remember those workout pants that were all, like, wild colors? They were basically our LuLaRoes. Like, you'd work out in these gigantic, like, leopard. It was crazy. But they were, like, flared and weird.
Yeah.
And people would go to the gym when they were called Zubas. Huh. And I was like, no.
I'm not going to do it.
I even knew then, as a teenager, like, I won't be able to get away with this. These big weightlifter guys were wearing these wild triangled shapes.
I remember that, yeah.
And you go, well, I'm not going to say anything because he could crush me.
Right.
But those are ridiculous. You look like a wrestler, pro wrestler.
Yeah.
But, like, I think if you're a certain age, you just go, I'm not doing that. I'm wearing khakis and a button-up until I die.
What's funny is we were making some of those decisions as teenagers. So what does that say about us?
Oh. Yeah. We were already dead the whole time. Just like Bruce Willis.
This is all not happening. So I can't say where, but I can say it's 2 weeks out. I'm supposed to be in New York on a major television show.
Saturday Night Live. You got Saturday Night Live.
I am the guest host of Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
I've never done a comedy.
No.
No, I did with you that one time.
Yes.
And I think it went. I think the results speak for themselves.
Bro, you have leveled up.
So, no, it's not Saturday Night Live, but I can't say anything until after it happens because it might, you just never know, but it's pretty exciting. So, just know this, if it's going through, I will go on Instagram Live that morning if you follow me. Me and Reggie will go Instagram Live. We've been doing that a little bit lately.
I've noticed that. I've been watching a couple of those.
Having some good discussions on racism and stuff together. So,
check it out. Yeah, John Driver.
Yeah, just at John Driver.
At John Driver.
Yeah,
on Instagram.
John Driver. And so, it sounds like two J's if you say it like
John
that.
Driver.
John Driver, yeah. So, but they need me. This is the show is big enough that I have to send the publicist my outfit.
Oh, really?
So Reggie
and I had
to discuss, because, you know, there's certain patterns that don't show up on camera. There's all kinds of things.
Vertical stripes they don't want because it messes with the...
And it was like Reggie...
But they don't want you looking exactly alike either.
Correct.
Probably,
so, like, it was so funny by the end. It was like a 3-minute conversation. And Reggie's like, I'll be in a black shirt. I was like, I'll be in a gray shirt. And that was it.
It would be weird, though, if you just showed up in the same outfit because it's like, all right, they wrote a book together, but they don't have to go this far. Best buddies! We're different races, but we love each other. Like, it's a whole... You'd have a theme song. Look, if we can come together and dress exactly alike like clones, America can too.
America can too. That's beautiful, Johnny.
But no, so black and gray, that's what you're...
Oh, yeah.
The book is called Not So Black and White.
Right.
But you're going to wear black and gray.
We're going to be...
You should both wear gray. Then it's like...
Yeah.
Guys, there's nuance to this issue. It's like a subtle...
You know, much like our shirts. Look, we're only going to have like 2 4-minute segments, so I don't know if that'll get fit in.
I think America really, when you think about it, is a cotton poly blend...
What we need is a little bit more spandex in there. Some of y'all need to stretch yourself.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah.
Somebody need to wick moisture. Reggie's wearing culottes for some reason. That's weird.
Reggie and culottes. Oh, my goodness.
I'm excited, though. It's going to be good. So you have to see your outfit. So when I did my taping, the only closest thing I've had to that is I did a TV taping for like Circle Network, which is the Opry's network. For a live stand-up show, and I just brought a couple of different things. They didn't say to. I just knew if I go up and everybody's wearing a black button-up and jeans, I don't look like, well, this is the cult. You know, like, we're all wearing... So you bring, like, one other option. And when I did my dry bar taping, I brought, like, 5 different things.
Yeah.
But that was because they were going to do, like, lighting and makeup looks and all this stuff. So they were like, hey, what are you... This is your lighting is going to be like a purple bluish backdrop. So are you good with whatever? So I think I basically wore a black button up with like a pattern on it. I didn't take very many chances.
I don't know what my wife.
You take a chance of being a floating head though.
Yeah.
If you do a full body show and you're wearing
and
all
it's
black.
Dark. Yeah.
And they're just like, hey, look at that weird head telling jokes.
The good news is Laura's going with me.
Yeah. She'll have you.
So hopefully, and I would like, it's so funny. I did that other TV appearance and it was unbelievable how shiny my head was.
Right, the local TV
that
thing.
That was an unbelievable.
That was when they put comedian or humorous. What did they write?
It was author comedian. Yeah.
Author comedian, super shiny head.
It was like, because they had said you have
satellite
to,
of Earth, John Driver.
It was like a cue ball, like that thing. Yeah, and they were like, you could bring your own makeup. Like, uh-huh. Makeup. And now I'm like, I should have brought makeup.
Yeah, powder.
Like that
powder
was. And those lights were brighter than usual, I think. But, you know, it's okay. So we'll see what happens here. But
it'll be good. These are, if this happens, and I'm just still hedging my bet, but if it happens, these are pros and they're going to be ready for whatever you throw at them.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. It's booked. It's been booked for several months, and we've, like, got travel details. Like, it's supposed to happen. I can't.
Yeah. But now you told me you're having the same, like, weird nervousness that I had going to Cancun about it, because you have to COVID test in the building.
I found out I have to COVID test.
And they could pull it, because that's what happened on The View. They pulled the Kamala Harris interview.
Yep.
Like, mid segment. Mm. They were like, we're coming back with Kamala Harris. They come back.
We're not coming back.
We're clearing the studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that could happen.
Yeah. Like, I'll probably take a few home tests before I go.
A few.
Just to be certain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little nerve-wracking. But it's okay. My friend told me, he goes, you know, normally I'd tell you not to worry. He said, but why don't you just go ahead and just soak in all this worry for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, just kind of roll around in it, you know, just sit up thinking nights about it.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, that's...
It's like reverse psychology.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, he's right.
Oh, he's right.
I'm being an idiot.
Yeah.
But maybe he's doing the reverse, though, and you do need to worry.
He's like telling me, be responsible.
Mm. Never know.
The line between worry and responsibility for me, Johnny,
uh-huh.
is that I was speaking with my coach/therapist, and he was talking about Enneagram 6s, and I wonder how this applies to you, because you're either a 6 with a strong 7 or a 7 with a strong 6. And he said 6s have a tendency to absorb all the responsibility in the room.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like they tend to feel that if something's wrong, and I know from a creative standpoint, I've watched you, especially when we're on staff together.
Yeah.
That if there is an event or an opportunity for us to do something, immediately you take ownership of the creative side of it. Ooh, what we could do is,
right.
and immediately give 5 or 6 ideas of how this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it on the negative side. Like if something goes wrong, I trace it back. It's very narcissistic, but I trace it back to my influence, which when you're the executive pastor, kind of is all your fault.
Yeah.
It's like if something goes wrong under any president's administration, at some point the other side's going to say, hey, that's his fault.
He may not.
Yeah, and it could be someone way down the food chain. So that some of that's just good leadership, but like that line between responsibility and worry. So to me, taking extra tests is just being responsible.
Yeah.
But it can quickly cross into worry, and so I have to learn not to be as responsible for everything.
I would think one test would be enough.
You think one?
Unless you get a positive, then you take another one to make sure it's not a false positive.
If I get two positives.
Two positives,
it makes a negative.
Wait a minute.
Isn't that in...
Hold on. Isn't that in Habakkuk?
That was just electricity. Isn't that true? Two positives. I'm thinking of
that'd be great to show up and say that to them.
Look, guys, it's okay.
Guys, I took two. It was both positive, so they cancel out, right? And they go, sir, you need to leave right now.
So put your hands on your head.
Guy puts on a third mask for some reason. He's just immediately terrified of you.
Oh, that's funny. Well, it'll be exciting.
Yeah. You're rolling, bro.
No, I'm not rolling.
It's a big moment.
It's a moment. It feels. I'm really, you know what? I am super thankful for my friend Reggie. That it's actually been. I mean, it's a lot of work. Like,
yeah.
When you leave today, I have I'll be here till probably.
Are you gonna say I got to get back to work the minute you're gonna go do your wonderful
life?
You're
gonna run off and do whatever it is.
And then I'm gonna meanwhile clock back in,
twiddle your thumbs and enjoy yourself. And I'm gonna. But I mean, but having a friend that. We've gone through that work process together has been great. And honestly, I mean, I think we've learned a lot about race and about response. And I talked to him today. He was doing 7 schools back to back.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, I just left 3. I'm heading to 4.
That's crazy.
Tell me I'm not late for a podcast interview. Like, because I mean,
right. You're helping manage his schedule.
He saw my phone call. Yeah. And he was like, oh, you know, I mean, we're doing a lot of interviews right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, no, man, I just need to talk to you about this. But it's been cool being able to kind of serve each other in that respect. And I'm excited to go. Although he flies out that afternoon, we don't get to go to dinner or anything.
Oh, that's not cool.
It's a bummer. He's got to go.
I think what you're learning about, and you already knew some about, is coattails. And they're very important. Because as someone who rode Hawkins, Tim Hawkins' coattails for a long time, it's a good place to be. It's a weird place to be sometimes, but it's because like you're in the room, not necessarily from your own gift, but the person who's in the room getting the people there has this gift and he believes in your gift. And then you have to show your gift once you're in the room.
Yeah.
So you can get into the room, and then if you don't produce, you're out of the room very quickly. But you're really in the room because the other person's vouching for you in some ways. It's a cool place to be, but it's an apprehensive place to be sometimes.
Well, I think the equivalent scenario here would be, you know, you and Tim would do the joke medley.
Yeah.
Right? Like, our entire thing is a medley with us, because he can't have a conversation between a white man and a black man without the white man.
Yeah, more the coattail would be the first book.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
This is definitely more of a collaboration.
This has been and it's okay with the coattail, because absolutely. I don't know. There's no doubt that Reggie's, man, you know, everybody's favorite guy in the whole world, and it should be. It's almost more pressure, though, for me in some ways, because I represent a different viewpoint. This whole conversation is about two viewpoints together, and I need to represent the other one well, you know, in terms of the humility and the education, the listening, the learning, and you know, that's just a thing you never arrive at. Like, you don't ever stop, you know, doing that. So he's been very merciful, I think, to me. I think is
not to me. You'd be amazed.
He hates you. He tells me all the time.
He called me just to say it yesterday, which I thought, man, this guy's doing seven schools, and he called me just to be like, hey, just wanted you to know I hate you. Hang up.
Oh my gosh.
I assume he had other calls to make. I'm kidding. We love you, Rich.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Good luck out there,
man. I'm glad he's back out at it too, man, because I know it was tough. Because it was tough for me. I can imagine for him, like, that connection that he feels with students, like, it's so important to his life. So it's like, to be doing seven schools in one day again, that's like, he's back in the saddle.
He's back doing schools. He's moving this week.
Yeah.
To a different city, different state. And he, I don't know if you know this, he's in grad school.
Wow.
So he was like, yeah, I got to write an 8-page paper. And, like, again, the book stuff is daily so much, which is awesome. So he's releasing a new book. He's traveling, you know, 90% of the time. I mean, like, it is crazy. It's the craziest season, I think, maybe of his life. Like, it's it's nuts. So,
and people can pre-order the book, notsoblackandwhitebook.com.
I need people to pre-order the book.
It helps with your first week's numbers go into that pre-order, right?
And when you get your pre-order, I need you to go write a verified purchase review.
Yes.
On Amazon.
I need to do that.
It would be helpful.
I'm going to go do it.
Every single one really, really does help, actually. Unless you say something really bad and give us a 1-star. That doesn't help. That's going to hurt us. But yes, notsoblackandwhitebook.com. And if anyone wants to be a part, I still have a few slots left for the launch team. If you want, not the lunch team. That's something totally different.
Lunch team sounds like something I'd like to do.
That's what we should have called
it. We need a lunch team.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we are a lunch team.
What's funny is, I did a book launch a launch team luncheon for one of the Turkhurst books at,
was it Zonneman or Thomas Nelson?
Thomas Nelson. You went with me. Remember? It was in like a boardroom and they just set me up.
Did I?
Like, in front of this round table. Yeah, you were there with me because you were like, I want to go, because you were trying to like.
Was Lisa Turkhurst there?
No, that's the other part. It was just like the people who had worked on the launch team for her book. And it was like, they need a break. We thought we'd bring him in. There was like pizza. And I did like 25 minutes of comedy for people who were exhausted during the day in a boardroom.
Yeah.
It was not my favorite thing.
No, they were nice.
They needed a lunch team. That day, they needed to be left alone. Here's your pizza. Thanks for all your work. And instead, they had to like.
If they
thanks
didn't call
for bringing this in the.
If they didn't call it a launchian, then they really
a launchian.
Oh my goodness!
But yeah, it was an honor to be there, but it was just a little bit strange. Sometimes you do comedy in strange places.
That's nice. Safe.
It's okay.
It was really nice to.
We
be
love
there.
You. We love the folks at Thomas Nelson. I don't know. I don't care. It's fine.
You can be a part though. It's notsoblackandwhitebook.com/launch. And they'll tell you what to do. You just enter your email address. It'll send you an automated email and tell you what to do.
And you can already get sample chapters of the book anyway, right?
You can start reading.
But you need to get the whole thing to get your certified review in.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Here's the thing. Like, we've done some interviews where I could tell, like, you know, they didn't have time to read the whole thing kind of thing. And right. It really is a comprehensive book, meaning the first half is way different than the second.
I think what you mean is heavy.
I think
it's a heavy book. It's a weighty.
It's robust, Johnny. It's
I've been referred to as robust at varying husky, times in my life.
Husky in content. Yeah, I mean, like someone told me, they're like, ooh, like I think you're going to, like the front half is more relational,
yeah.
You know, gospel driven, recovery driven. The back half is kind of taking those things and now you can endure history. And like someone told me when they read the whole thing, they were like, I really liked the history part. Like, I kind of wish you could have started with that. I was like, well, I can't necessarily just jump into that, you know, without some sort of setup. So yeah, read it all, guys. It'll be exciting. But I appreciate our listeners though, and you guys who join us every week, and a lot of you have already told me you pre-ordered it, and we appreciate that. So man, get some friends to do it, help us out. October 12th is when that's going to launch. And don't forget though, for real, that same, it's a big week for John and Johnny, because that same week Johnny's going to headline Zanies on the 17th.
Prioritize the book first, because I'm not doing anything for the state of race relations in America.
You never know, Johnny.
That's true.
You promote the book at your
from
show.
The stage.
Hey, guys, something else is kind of funny.
Before I... What else is going on? I read a book. Then left a certified review.
I'm going to have one right here.
Yeah.
If anyone would do that for me, it'd be you, Johnny.
It'd be fun.
You would tank your own career in order to help me sell another book, and I appreciate that. And I may ask you to do so. So...
Sometimes I do weird shows. I was thinking about that yesterday because there's a show that I have that I'm in the mix for, and it's for city leaders of Mount Juliet, yeah. Where I lived for 10 years. I live in Lebanon now, but so I know the city government here pretty well.
Yeah.
And
that's code for he's been in jail a bunch. Yeah.
I know all the key players. But I'm apprehensive of doing it because it's, you know, it could be really stiff sometimes, but I want to do it just so I can tell this one joke. And I'm not going to tell the joke, but
unless, me.
If it happens, then I'll tell the joke that I told. But I really like, I'm willing to be lowballed on this show. I'm willing to be given a really low offer that's an insult because I would probably say yes.
Just to make
just
this
to
one
tell
joke.
This one joke. Just because I want to see it happen.
And it's a wordplay.
Yeah.
But... It's so perfect.
It's
for
edgy.
City.
It's kind of jarring, but in just the right way. I don't want to oversell it because then when I do tell, they'll be like, "Oh, that went all that."
Well, I don't know if they'll laugh because I don't know if they know
they have
can.
To understand the whole thing. Anyway, if it happens, I'll have a story to tell, and that'd be worth. That's worth more than the amount of money that I would have made if I had like held out for more money.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to scare them away by being like, I have to hold the line. This is what I'm worth. Because then they might go away and I don't get to tell this joke. It's the only place this joke will
right.
work.
It's one place.
Yeah.
So wow.
It's a very, I mean, I'm torn.
The crowd has to be so.
Yeah.
You guys are really wondering what this joke is. We should tell the joke just to the Patreon.
Oh, that's true. If you're a patron, I will tell the
but
joke.
But they may not get it because they don't, it's a Mount Juliet.
Well, they'll pretend to laugh because like, oh, we're the insiders. It's very smug.
And you guys should be receiving your free copy of my book, by the way.
Oh, nice.
For the next week or so. So, yeah, that should be coming your way.
Man, we need to send some more free stuff. I got a few things in the works.
Johnny always we'll send says out that. Some guys, things. He's not sending you anything. Well, I'll send you my stuff.
Okay. What about some culottes? Some talk about that.
Some
culottes.
Leftover culottes that we had. So, hey, you should, though, go to our website.
Talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much to do there.
170-something episodes archived.
Yep. I did receive another email that people would want to come live on the 200th
oh, that's
episode.
Good.
So
I think we're going to try to make it happen. Even if it's only a few people, it's worth doing, right? We'll put a little, some mics in the room and just something. We can have a mic out in the crowd, too, that they can ask questions live in the moment. And
great.
Then if they're horribly offensive, we edit those. Because
we'll have to record
we'll post the episode later.
Yeah. Yeah, so check out the old episodes. Share with a friend. Thanks for... We had a positive review. We should probably read that. We had a positive review this week.
They're so few and far between.
It's 5-star. It says, my second of two favorite podcasts.
Did they say who the first is?
Absolutely love the sometimes humorous, sometimes meaningful conversations had here. In response to last week's episode, Joey from Friends says, it's a moo point. It's like a cow's opinion. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I remember
that's
that
episode. That's great, yeah. Going to see Johnny in Nashville next month.
What?
Check it out. So excited. That's El Catante. So thank you for that review. And if you leave us a review, we might read it on the air.
El Cantante, like E-L or L like an initial?
E-L.
Okay. E-L. El Cantante.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
It's a very romantic, like...
I think that's their screen name or whatever.
Oh, okay. I just like the way it sounds. It's very, like,
yeah,
it's mysterious.
Oh, very, very, terribly mysterious.
Yes. I want to meet El Cantante at the show. If you're El Cantante, come see me. I'll give you a CD. I don't care.
There you go. You're going to meet El Cantante. Hey, and we appreciate you guys letting us meet with you for a few moments just this week and spend some quality time catching up after Johnny abandoned you last week.
So, I'm so sorry, guys. It'll never happen again until the next time.
But thanks, you guys, for listening. It always means a lot. We'll see you next week on
Talk About Now.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
And we're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
The word kynos means new, and that's exactly what we want to do on our podcast, bring something new from what is old in our faith.
And on this show, you might hear us explore topics like what the Bible has to say about student loan forgiveness, discuss how the Satanic Temple affects our view of religious liberty in America, or even question why is it that so many people are having rapture anxiety.
To learn more about the podcast, go to lifeaudio.com.